Adonai, I thank you for your goodness to us. As we said in the Haftor blessing, it just always strikes me each week how faithful and true you are, God. And we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. We thank you for your presence that has been here. Lord, as we sung in that last song, all we need is you, God. You are what we need. And I thank you that you have a word to speak to us. I pray that we would have ears to hear what your Ruach would say, hearts willing to obey. I pray that my words would be anointed by your Spirit, and that would bring life to all who are listening to it here in this service this morning, and those who would be listening literally around the world by podcast, that their lives would be changed and encouraged. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. So we're looking at Tehillim, Psalm 46, this morning. So you could follow along with the presentation here, or you can open up your tree book or your e-book. I'm just going to read the entire psalm. It's 11 or 12 verses, depending on whether you're reading from English or Hebrew. So the psalmist starts out by saying, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Selah. Therefore, we are unafraid, even if the earth gives way, even if the mountains tumble into the depths of the sea, even if its waters rage and form, foam, and mountains shake at its turbulence. There is a river whose streams gladden the city of God, the holy habitation of Elyon. God is in the city. It will not be moved. When daybreak comes, God will help it. Nations were in turmoil. Kingdoms were moved. His voice thundered forth, and the earth melted away. Adonai Tzivaot is with us, our fortress, the God of Yaakov. Come and see the works of Adonai, the astounding deeds he has done on the earth. To the ends of the earth he makes wars cease. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields in the fire. Desist, be still, and learn that I am Adonai, supreme over the nations, supreme over the earth. Adonai Tzivaot is with us, our fortress, the God of Yaakov. Amen. Right, bow, not bow. As my husband pointed out. Also, just want to encourage you, we have a reporter coming at 1 o'clock today to talk to my husband and maybe a couple other people about our Rosh Hashanah services. So that's going to be exciting. Our services are in Newsday, and this is reporters from Vio. So we're excited that they chose to reach out to us. So if you see a reporter coming in, especially our ushers, you could be alert to them coming. So, but let's hear the word of the Lord. I was reading this psalm recently, and there's one phrase that jumped literally out of off the page to me, and it was, God is in the city. It was a simple phrase, but it was packed full on the day that I read it. Okay? It represents a powerful spiritual truth that I believe the enemy often tries to steal away from us. And as I was reading on that day, God encouraged me that he was with me, that he was in the middle of everything that was going on in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that he had not checked out, and that his presence was something that I could count on. And as I mentioned about the Haftor blessing, that he is faithful, faithful, and true. When you look at the context of this psalm, the psalmist is encouraging the children of Israel to look to Adonai as a source of refuge and strength. And in doing so, he describes a tumultuous situation that paints a picture for us of a situation that is really beyond hope in the natural. He depicts this obstreperous situation. It says that the earth is giving away, the mountains are quaking, the waters are raging. Again, representing natural catastrophes that would make life difficult for anyone having to go through those. You know, we live here on the East Coast. We are subject to hurricanes, and we're coming into that season now. Thursday night as we were going home, there was that lightning storm, and we're usually not out driving in the lightning storm. It was just amazing, I have to say. And Chris loves storms, and as we're here praying, she's like, wow, do you hear that? But actually seeing the lightning Thursday night shooting across the sky was just amazing. So we have experienced some devastating hurricanes here on the Northeast that has shut down our power for a couple of weeks at a time. So we understand somewhat natural disasters because we've walked through them on a personal level here on Long Island. And they're tough to make it through unless you have a generator, which we don't. So for 2 weeks, you'll huddle. The last time it went out, it was close to October, and it was freezing at that point. And so as the psalmist is talking about this, he's saying, you know, when these things happen, when the earth is shaking and the mountains are quaking and the waters are beating hard against you, your natural response is to be in fear. But I'm telling you, don't be afraid, because God is here in the midst of everything. So my question to you this morning is, what challenges and difficulties are you facing that would seek to create fear and panic in your heart and in your spirit? What trouble do you find yourself in? The Hebrew word used here, tsarot, which you could hear, those who know Hebrew and Yiddish, you know, tsuris, we get it from that root word. It means a state of very unfavorable circumstances with a focus on the emotional pain and distress of that situation. Okay? An unfavorable circumstance with a focus on emotional pain and distress. What emotional pain and distress do you feel because of things going on around you? The water imagery used here, which is often used in ancient texts to evoke these powers of chaos as the water, you know, beats again against the, you know, the land and the people and bringing destruction. Water is a very powerful, powerful entity. And throughout this journey of life, turbulent situations arise. Often I can find myself in great emotional pain and distress because of the unfavorable circumstances, and panic can easily try to control my heart. And overwhelming thoughts bombard my mind as I seek relief. And the psalm here is to encourage us in such times as that. In those seasons where our lives seem to be out of control and things that we cannot work anything out on our own, which is what we like to do because we like to be in control, which we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So when you're out of control, and it seems like your life is out of control, and all these things are happening around you, the psalmist says, all you need to do is think about the powerful God that you serve. So even though that water raging is powerful, even though the earthquaking is powerful, even though the thunder shaking the skies and the lightning flashing are powerful, God created all of that. Think about that. He created the waters. He created the mountains that quake, the volcanoes that explode. Focus on the powerful God that you serve. When you read through the psalm, it makes these declarations about God. One, that he is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help. Me'od, very, the Hebrew word. He's in the city. That's the phrase that really spoke to me that day I was reading this. That he will help, that he is with us, and that he's a fortress. He's that place of refuge. Why do we need a refuge? Refuge is sought for protection from something that is threatening us. Think about it. When you're caught out in a rainstorm, you naturally look for a place of shelter to get out of the rain. I'm not an umbrella person. My son is. He just slipped out for a minute. So as it was starting to rain as we leave this morning, he's grabbing all the umbrellas and handing them to us. But my husband and I never use the umbrella. I said, he's like, Mom, you want to get wet? I said, if I was walking in the city, I said, I'd use an umbrella. I said, but from my door to my car, I said, I don't need an umbrella. But if you're in that pouring down rain, you know, you're going to look for an umbrella or a place of shelter. That's what refuge is a place of protection. And so whatever unfavorable, emotional, painful circumstances you might find yourself in today, Adonai wants you to hear these words. I am here. I am here. I created the entire universe. I'm all powerful. Amen. So this psalm encourages us to respond to this revelation of who God is, that he's our strength, that he's our refuge, that he's our fortress, that he's here in the midst of us, that he is all-powerful, that he will help us, to respond to him by doing the following. The first is to rely on him. In this psalm, there are two Hebrew words that are used that could be translated as refuge. In verse 1, the word is machaseh. And one article discussing this Hebrew word said it means someone that you can trust in. It represents a safe place that is free from danger. And it represents a person that you could run to for safety. God wants you to know that he is the best person that you can turn to in your time of turmoil, in your time of pain, in your time of distress. And he is the best person that you and I can trust. He's that place of safety from the raging storms of life. As one writer said, this is not God's first storm. Selah. So whatever you're going through, it might be new to you and overwhelming, like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen here? It's not God's first storm. And I can look around this room, and I know many testimonies that are here in this room, how God has sustained me personally and how God has sustained you. And I can go through the Word and through history and see the stories of other men and women of God who he sustained, who he took through difficult, tumultuous times and brought them into that place of safety. And he wants to encourage me and you today that he wants to do the same for us. You see, while I may not always have the capability to maneuver through the choppy waters that might be beating against my boat, he can always navigate through the storm to safety. And when the mountains come crashing down around me and I can't find a shelter to save me, he is always able to pull me under his wings to provide protection and safety from that which seeks to destroy and to harm me. I was listening to a song a few weeks ago, and in the open worship, the leader began to sing, God is still seated on the throne. He always has been, and he always will be. God is still seated on the throne. He always has been, and he always will be. That's why you and I can rely on him. That's why we can trust him. As I said, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's all powerful. No one can dethrone God. Just saying. Just saying. My husband mentioned on Wednesday night in the Torah study that about the treaties of the Hittite Empire and other empires of the ancient Near East. And he commented, you know, those empires don't exist today. And those rulers who made those treaties don't exist. But God exists. And he's on the throne. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's on the throne. You see, when the waters are beating against you, it's sometimes hard to remember that God's on the throne. When life is throwing, you know, punches at you right and left, it's hard to remember that God's on the throne. I'm not a real water person. Obviously, I didn't grow up here in the Northeast. I grew up in the Midwest. But a lot of you grew up here in the Northeast, and you're not water people either. But, you know, my husband says, he says, I'm not a water person, you know, even though I grew up here. The water can be scary, you know, to me. I swim okay, you know. I can get from one side to the other, and I don't like to be over my head, though, in water. That's okay. But when that water gets choppy, you know, when you're on that boat and that water gets a little choppy and your stomach starts going up and down and you're like, okay, I hope this, you know, captain of this ship knows where he's going and can get me there safely. The good news is the captain of our ship, God Almighty, knows exactly where he's directing you and he will get you there safe and sound. Doesn't mean the waters are going to stop beating against your boat. Doesn't mean the sea is going to immediately become calm and still, although he could do that, we know. But it does mean is that we can trust that he will take us safely to where we need to be. And that's an encouraging thing for us this morning. Tehillim 45 verse 7 says, your throne, God, will last forever and ever. You rule your kingdom with a scepter of equity. And again, in Tehillim 103, verse 19, it says, Adonai has established his throne in heaven. His kingly power rules over everything. He is seated on the throne, always has been, and always will be. Nobody is going to get him off that throne. And that's an encouraging thing to think about this morning, and an encouraging word to help us to put our trust in him. I was also reflecting on the words of another song that we sometimes sing here, and the words go that even the winds and waves still obey him. Even the winds and waves still obey him. We need to understand that those things that are pressing hard against us, the waves, the shaky grounds underneath us, must submit to Adonai. They have to. He's the all-powerful creator of heaven and earth, as I said, and there's nothing that you or I could ever, ever, ever face that is too difficult for him. He always makes a way where there seems to be no way. Do you hear me? You may be in a situation and say, I don't know how there's going to be resolved in this situation. There's no way I can do anything to change things. Well, God is in the business of taking the impossible and make it possible. That's why you can rely on him. Don't rely on me or my husband. We're mere human beings. Rely on God. He can take the impossible and make it possible. Our second response to the revelation of the awesome God who is here for us is to renew our strength for his. Last Saturday in our youth study, we talked about what to do under pressure as the kids are starting back to school this past week. And school represents a year of a lot of pressure, okay? For those of us who are far removed from school days, trust me, many, many pressures being in school. So we looked at the Yeshayahu Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31, that tells us that we will renew our strength as we wait on him. And this is what these verses say. Haven't you known, haven't you heard, that the everlasting God, Adonai, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow tired or weary? Can you read that with me? Does not grow tired or weary. Let's read that again. Does not grow tired or weary. That's a very important truth to grab hold of, friends. He goes on to say, his understanding cannot be fathomed. He invigorates the exhausted. I love that phrase. I could park there for a while, but I'm not going to. But invigorates the exhausted. He gives strength to the powerless. Young men may grow tired and weary. Even the fittest may stumble and fall. But those who hope in Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar aloft as with eagle's wings. When they are running, they won't grow weary. When they are walking, they won't get tired. I shared with the teens last Saturday what I have often taught on this passage, which if you know me, you know it's my was my father's favorite verse in the Bible, and that this passage of Scripture is telling us that Adonai wants us to exchange our strength for His. It tells us that as people, we will get tired and we will grow weary. I felt a little tired and a little weary this past week. I don't know about anyone else. A lot going on, right, in this season of life for us as a congregation and a family. But this verse tells us that God will never, ever, 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 ever grow tired or weary. Amen, exactly, my husband. That is powerful. God will never grow tired. And that's important to remember, because when we grow exhausted and we grow weary and we are overwhelmed by the pressures of life, we can so often transfer our emotions and feelings to God. Well, if I'm tired and exhausted, He must be tired and exhausted. No, friends. He never grows weary. He never gets tired. So when I find myself struggling to try to change the circumstances and failing miserably, I don't know if anyone else ever goes through that, because my human efforts fall far, far short of what is needed in this situation and circumstance, and my ingenuity, that I think is great, is very limited, and I get tired in the process because I'm trying to change the situation, change the person, change this and whatever, and bring relief to the pain that I might feel, and it's not working. Any hands? Right? Thank you for being honest. When I say, okay, God, I'm going to let go and give you control. I'm going to give my puny strength, which is what my strength really is, no matter how strong of a person I think I might be, I'm going to give it to you, God. And you know what? Why don't you give me your strength? Because that's what this verse is saying. Renew our strength means to exchange. Give Him what is yours and receive what is His. Friends, we get the better end of the deal. Just saying. We get the better end of the deal. He imparts His supernatural strength into us to help us. And the whole idea behind the word strength here is having the abilities to do what is desired, intended, or necessary. And friends, God is the only one with the ability to do what is necessary in your life situation right now, today, Saturday, September the 8th, 2018. Whatever you are facing, or if you're listening to this podcast a month from now, God is the only one who has the ability to step into your situation and to bring the necessary and desired change in that situation. I was reading an article about this verse, and the writer said, "Any of us who are tempted to be despondent because of the pressure of adverse circumstances should lay hold of the facts which we have accepted by faith, as well as gather from our experiences of God's merciful dealings with us, that He, the Creator of all things, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He has the same power at our disposal. He gives us the same power at our disposal that He manifested in His creative acts, that He never suffers from overexertion. And since His understanding is infinite, He knows all about us. He knows our most trying experiences, whether they're within or without, and they are under His absolute control because He is sovereign, and He has appointed the time to step in and to bring deliverance to you and to me." That's encouraging. Yeah, you and I might be able to manipulate things for a moment, but eventually our human efforts will fall short. We will grow weary. And today God says He wants to invigorate you and me to give us strength. Notin le'ayef ko'ak, to give strength to the weary. One writer said he has superabundant energy to impart to any that are faint among his servants. Are you feeling weary? Are you feeling faint? Today he wants to invigorate and to give you strength. Another writer described this supernatural energy in the following way. He said, God is vigorous in power and can easily invigorate us. In fact, we are told that Adonai is giving to the tired one power, and to the one without dynamic energy, he makes full might abound. And because of increasing pressures, we may sometimes feel like an exhausted runner whose legs seem unable to carry him any further. But the finish line and the race for life is ahead, and we must not give up. The writer goes on to say, our adversary, the devil, is roving about like a roaring lion, and he wants to stop us. But we need to remember that God is our strength and our shield, and he has abundant strength that he wants to impart into us. By God, we will gain strength and tread down our enemy. The third thing that I believe this psalm encourages us, we want to rely on God. We want to renew our strength, and we want to run to his fortress. As I said at the beginning of the message, there are two words that could be translated as refuge. Verse 1 was the word machaseh. Here in verse 7 and 11, another Hebrew word is used for refuge, which is translated in the complete Jewish Bible as a word fortress. It means a high tower that is beyond the reach of our enemies. What enemy can withstand our God, friends? Who is more powerful than him? What enemy of yours could ever overtake and overwhelm the God that you serve? Absolutely none. So when it talks about the fortress, it talks about that place that the enemy cannot reach. And the psalmist encourages us to run to him, to run to that place of safety from the attacks of the enemy and from the snares that he would try to put in front of us. You see, Adonai always has a place of safety made for us, whether the enemy is attacking us, whether he's tempting us. Right? He says when he tempts us, Corinthians, that he will always make a way of escape, but we have to run to him. So our problem is that we try to face the enemy alone. And friends, when we face the enemy alone, we often fall prey to his tactics and are overwhelmed by him. Tehillim 31, verse 1 says, in you, Adonai, I take refuge. The message translation says, I run to you, God. I run for dear life. Some of you need to run for dear life. But often we do the opposite. Why do we avoid bringing our cares and concerns to him? Run to God. Run for your dear life. There's this commercial, I can't remember what the product's for, but you know, there's a group of people, and there's the scary, you know, house, you know, that they could go into, or they could get in the car and drive away, right? And what do? They go into the scary house. Again, I remember the commercial, just not the product, but that's often what we do, though. God has made a way of escape. God has made a way to take us to safety, and instead of running to God, we run into the enemy's arms. Hello? God says, run to me. Run for your dear life. Because I'm the place of safety. I'm the place of refuge. Kepha Olive says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. Mishle, Proverbs 18, verse 10. Can you read this with me? Yeah, is it up there? Ready, together? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Run where? To the name of the Lord. So this article I was reading on this verse, it was entitled, Run, Don't Walk. He says, there's no safety in looking at the strong tower. And when danger is pressing in, walking is not the right approach to take. The passage says that we must run. Run means to make haste, to travel or journey by moving one's legs more rapidly than in walking. Pretty simple, right? Much different when you're running than when you're walking. And this verse tells us that we need to run to the name of the Lord to find safety. How do you run into God's name? The author went on to say. To read his word, to believe his word, to obey his word, to pray his word. That's how we can run today. He goes on to say, but the truth begs the question, are you running towards God or from him? How is your time in the word? Are you a hearer of the word and not a doer, and thus deluded? What do you put your trust when fear-producing circumstances, thoughts, or people attack you? He ends by saying, run quickly. Run with full assurance that he is waiting there. Run to his name. When you run to his name, you run to a place of safety. Take a drink of water because I know it makes you feel better. It's not going to do much for me right now, but I know you'll feel better that I took a drink of water. It's just this dripping thing that's going on in the back of my throat. So for those who are listening by podcast, I just took a drink of water. All right, so run to the name of the Lord. In biblical times, a person's name stood for the person. It stood for the character and the characteristics of that person. It represented not only the identity, but the reputation and the authority of that individual. So when you think of the name of God, his character, his identity, his attributes, friends, that's a safe place to run to. As I said, all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. And it says the righteous run into his name and are safe. Whatever storm you may be facing, whatever trial is coming against you, you can find safety by running into his presence. The fourth thing, two more things I want to encourage you with, is to recognize that he is in the midst of our situation. As I said earlier, the enemy will seek to attack or distort this truth in order to discourage you and me, causing us to give up, which enables him to win in the situation. You see, when we succumb to his lies, it brings fear. Anytime you feel anxious, anytime you feel worry, that's fear. Friends, fear is not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So anytime you are feeling those things, I can tell you without a shadow of doubt, God's not behind them. Because there's no fear in God's perfect love. And so the enemy will try to distort this fact that God is with us and try to convince us to give in to fear. Whenever you and I succumb to the lies of hell, it creates fear in our life. And that's what the enemy wants to do. And one of the ways he does that is to make you and I think that God's not here. Or that God's not here for me. God's here for Chris. God's here for Myrna. God's here for Rena. God's here for Tricia, but God's not here for me. And when I listen to that lie, fear captivates my heart, and I'm in bondage. But this psalm tells us we don't need to walk in fear, even if it seems like our whole world is crumbling around us. One writer speaking on this verse said, another answer to fear is having confidence in the God who is present. He is a very present help in trouble. The Hebrew word for present can mean to be found, to be encountered, to be discovered, detected, recognized. All of that is what God will be in the time of trouble. He will prove himself sufficient, more than enough. We will know his presence as we have never known it before. He will be found in the darkest of times because the darkness cannot hide from him. The darkness cannot hide from him. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst. The writer says, God loves being in the middle of things. And God is here in the midst of your situation right now. As I said at the beginning of this message, that was the phrase that jumped out of this chapter when I was reading it recently. God is in the midst of the city. And if you see in my little journal that I keep of my devotions, I just wrote, it just encouraged me. God is with me right now in everything that's going on in my life. Friends, whatever you are facing today, God says, I'm right here with you. And when he says, I'm right here with you, he says, that means I'm going to move on your behalf. I'm going to take care of this situation. I'm going to take care of this problem that you're facing right now. You can rely on me. You can trust me. You can run to me. Recognize I'm here to move on your behalf. That's why you don't have to fear. Though the oceans roar, though the mountains quake, there's no fear. Why? Because God is here. God is here. I don't have to be afraid. We will not be moved, the psalmist says. That means we will not stagger, we will not slip, we will not fail, we will not be shaken, even though everything beating against us makes us want to do that. But we will not be moved when we recognize and hold on to that fact that God is there. And if you have to just tie a little knot in the rope and you're hanging on with the knuckles as wide as you can, you hang on to that truth. God is in the midst of your life right now. And he wants to move on your behalf and in that situation that you're facing today to bring relief. Friends, God is in the house. God's in your life. He is enthroned on high. He is in control. Nothing happening in your life or mine or in the world today has caught him off guard. We've talked about this in messages in the past. God's not up in heaven saying, oh my goodness, look what's happening in Carol's life. I didn't expect this to happen. She's not caught off guard by the emotional turmoil I may be feeling or you may be feeling, the difficulty you might be going through. God's not up there saying, oh no, what am I going to do? How am I going to help Carol? How am I going to help the people down at Beth Emanuel? How am I going to help the people listening to this podcast? Oh no, it's too great for me. No. He's in control. He's sovereign. And we need to recognize that. And recognize, even though we can't make a way, even though we can't see a way to bring resolve to the situation we may be in, God always leads us to safety. Again, as I said earlier, he makes a way where there seems to be no way. He says, when you walk through the waters, you will not drown. When you go through the fire, you will not be burned. So whatever fire, whatever water you're in right now, God wants to assure you that he's right there in the midst of that, and he's going to take you through to safety and to his provision for you. Finally, God wants to say, relax. Some translations say, be still. Often that gives a connotation of just sitting and doing nothing. That's not really the connotation behind this Hebrew word. One Jewish writer was describing this Hebrew word, saying that it means more than just to sit and do nothing. He says, the God is saying, relax. Go on with your business. Go where you need to go. Stay where you need to stay. And stop being tense. Don't worry, because I am. So God's saying, relax. Not because you know what to do, but because I am. And the great I am has everything under control. So that's why you and I can relax, because of who he is. The New Century Version translates Psalm 116, verse 7 as, I said to myself, relax, because the Lord takes care of you. Some of you need to write that verse down. Paste it around your home and in your car, and tell yourself to relax, because God's taking care of you, and he's taking care of your situation. Let's stand to our feet. Let's close with the words of one writer on this psalm, finishing out. He said, God is in control. You can let go. God is in control. You can let go. And that's a lesson that some of us need to learn today, because we like being in control. But God says, relax, let go. I'm in control. And I will work everything out for your good. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the refuge in the storm. That you are the fortress that is higher than any foe that would come against us. And Father, whatever situations are being faced by the people in this sanctuary today, or those listening to the podcast, I pray that they would be encouraged to know that you are the one that they can come to, that you are the strength of their life, that you will make a way where there seems to be no way, that there's no need to be in fear, because you have everything in control. So I pray your people would receive your word, be encouraged by it today, Lord, and walk out with confidence, Lord, knowing that even though they don't have the answer, you do, God, and that you will move and work on our behalf. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. I want to close with the Aaronic benediction. Again, there's no activities here this afternoon. We need to have a practice for the worship team and et cetera. Please make sure you come to our Rosh Hashanah services. These are some of the most important services of the year for us as a congregation. If this is your congregational home, this is where you need to be tomorrow night and Monday. Come a little early with the food you're bringing, so our ONED committee doesn't miss too much of the service as they're setting up. And come prepare to encounter God. And don't come alone. Bring a friend. Rabbi Carol, everyone said no to me so far. Find someone else to invite today or tomorrow. Bring someone with you who doesn't yet know Yeshua, that they can encounter him. Amen. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yishim lecha shalom. May the peace and joy of Adonai saturate your heart and your life and your home. In Yeshua's name, amen. God bless you.